Welcome to Flunking the Written, a fully spoiled Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast in which two Uber fans break down every episode of the show. Join Kimberly and Megan every other Tuesday as they overanalyze each scene and discuss the Buffyverse at large. Now let's meet up with the Scoobies and get into this episode of Flunking the Written.
What can I say? I flunked the written.
All right, Kim, we are ready to get into our discussion of Living Conditions, which was written by Marty Noxon and directed by David Grossman. And the DVD blurb is, a series of nightmares involving a soul-sucking demon leave Buffy convinced that the best way to deal with her overly perky college roommate is to simply kill her. So straight to the murder.
That's not exactly what happens. And her roommate is very perky.
Very perky.
I could also describe her roommate as incredibly passive aggressive.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah. That's in my notes so many times. Like, I completely overused that phrase in my notes. For this.
It is very accurate, though. Oh, so this is like one of those episodes that is bottom of the barrel for a lot of people. Like, I mean, it is one of those that gets voted down as, like, probably the five worst episodes of Buffy. It's in that mix, right?
Well, you know, and a lot of those are in the first half of season four.
Yeah, but, like, I haven't watched this episode in a long time, and I don't really like this episode, but I don't even necessarily know why I don't like it, other than the fact that it is one of those episodes, and I think you mentioned this before, it's one of those episodes that only makes sense if you, like, suspend your disbelief on, like, how all of the characters are acting in this episode. Like, every character has to kind of act differently than they actually would act in order for this episode to work. And it's just unsettling to watch because nobody's quite right, including the people who aren't currently having their soul sucked. So...
yeah, and it's one of those episodes that happen every now and then of Buffy, and it always reminds me of the TV show House, the doctor, who is like this incredible genius with figuring out what's wrong with people, but like every single episode. Now, to be fair, I've only watched like a couple of seasons of it, but every single episode that I have ever seen, he is right. And everyone around him and everyone who works with him and everybody try to tell him how wrong he is over and over again. And then he ends up being right. And it's just like, why do y'all do this? He's right every time. Like, this is not the first time you've dealt with this guy. He's always right. Stop fighting him every step of the way. And it's kind of like that. Every once in a while, you get an episode of Buffy like that, where it's like, y'all, it's Buffy. You know she knows what she's talking about. Why are you fighting her? Why are you arguing?
Absolutely.
You know?
There's, like, weird... we'll get into it in the breakdown, but there's just, like, weird choices all throughout this episode. And it is the definition of a filler episode. You can skip this episode and not really miss anything.
Well, and you... this episode, also, I think all of us have dealt with people like Kathy, and it just makes you so frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
So frustrated, especially when they're so good at convincing other people that you're the crazy one. And like, oh my gosh, this the way Kathy acts in this is kind of triggering for me in some ways.
I could see that.
Anyone who's ever had a narcissistic family member or parent, and you're just like, oh my gosh, just
stop, just go away, I'm done. The episode starts in the dorm room with Buffy and Kathy. Kathy is blasting Cher's Believe, and you can tell that Buffy's already just super annoyed with the song. And it's funny because at the beginning, I'm just like, but this is a good song, right? And then by the end of the episode, I'm just like, I'm really tired of listening to this song. They play it enough times just in the episode for me to be like, I'm kind of over this song.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention, and I think I pointed this out at the end of the last episode, she was supposed to be putting a Backstreet Boys poster on her wall. And it was Celine Dion. In the instructions in the script for this episode, she is supposed to be spinning Mariah Carey's Butterfly over and over again. Yeah. And not necessarily Celine Dion.
She's
I guess they changed that.
She's got a variety of musical tastes. So Kathy is ironing her jeans, which is your first clue that she's a little unhinged. Buffy's just kind of trying to find an excuse to get out of the dorm. She puts on her jacket and Kathy asks if she's going out. And she's just like, yeah, I need caffeine. And it's, you know, just an excuse to get out there and get away. I don't even think she's like going to patrol anymore. I think she's just going to get away from Kathy. But Kathy's kind of giving her the third degree, like making sure, you know, you're going to be out all night, all of this stuff. And
I didn't know you'd be coming and going.
Yeah, all hours.
Not that I mind.
That is like the definition of passive aggressiveness, of just like, yeah. like saying something that's very clearly aggressive thing and being like, oh, but it's perfectly all right, you know? And she does that so often in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Buffy leaves to get away.
Yes.
And well, before she leaves to get away, Kathy has a little system that she implemented for the phone where you log every call you make on this little weird notepad thing. Kind of not really a system as much as write down your calls, but mm-hmm. you know, it always bothers me in this episode when she says she created a system. Because that's really not what happened. Basically, she says, write down your calls.
It's
that's
a Kathy not- original. What are you talking about?
Yeah. She's like, I came up with writing on paper. But at this point, you could tell that Buffy is like done.
Oh, she's so done. And yeah. like, it's not even done. Like, the scene just keeps going. And then Kathy's like, yeah. oh, I noticed that some of my milk was missing. And I'm just like, how?
Yeah, like, how do you notice that milk is missing? If you, it's like a carton of milk. Like, did you put a piece of hair across the top so that you'd know if someone touched it?
Well, and like Buffy even says she was adding some to her coffee, because that's what Buffy says. I was making my coffee and she added some to her coffee. I was just like, how aware do you have to be? Because that is not, it's not even some.
Yeah, that's
it's not even, it was not even a container where she can like mark the side. Maybe she marks the sides and like holds it up to the light to see where the liquid line is. That is the only way you could tell.
Yeah. But like, then Buffy admits she did it and apologizes. And Kathy's like, no, it's totally okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
So why even so okay? Why even bring it up? Just say, hey, please don't take my milk without asking anymore.
Yeah.
If you're fine with it, don't bring it up. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Then she says, I just wanted to make sure we didn't have a milk thief.
Yeah.
So basically, she then calls Buffy a thief.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, everything about Kathy is just awful. But it's...
Yeah, and then she says, please feel free. But the next time Buffy opens the fridge later in the episode, everything is
labeled Kathy. Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm like, whose fridge is it? Because when I was in college, you had to, it didn't come with the dorm. You had to bring your own mini fridge. And like, you would bring the mini fridge and like your roommate would bring the microwave and you would do it that way. Mm-hmm. You know? Anyway.
We're just going to be yelling about Kathy for a lot of this episode.
That is accurate, I think. Now, our next scene is Buffy and Willow walking through campus and, they're basically talking about Kathy and complaining about her. And then this is kind of a funny thing where Buffy says she hears something and Willow offers all kinds of explanations for it.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And so Buffy's like, I'm looking for something lurky. And so, this is what I don't get.
Yeah.
During this conversation, a little further on, Willow complains about how her roommate is challenging too. Why aren't they already roommates? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. They decided to go to college together. Willow literally stayed and didn't go to, like, Oxford or MIT or, you know, Caltech because she wanted to stay with Buffy and mm-hmm. get in on this fight. Yet they don't put on their forms to request each other as roommates. I mean, if you do that, you get to be roommate.
Yeah.
Every college in the universe does that.
And, like, it would be such an easy thing to explain away if just they explained it, right? If they were just, like, something
but
like,
how would you explain?
We were afraid that, living together would cause us to get on each other's nerves and we don't want to have that kind of relationship or something like that. To even just have that and then realize, oh, the alternatives are so much worse. Let's actually live together. It would just be something that you could throw in there. But they don't even bother to do that. They just act like it wasn't even an option that they considered.
And when they kind of separate, there's this weird little thing Willow does with her hands.
Oh, okay.
Where she says, like, they're separating and Willow's like, this is where I get off. Say hi. And Buffy says, say hi to Oz for me. And Willow says, I will. There's a little line that was cut out that it has Willow saying, and acting as his main squeeze, I extend a hey right back at you on his behalf.
Oh.
Happy hunting. But they, for some reason, they cut that out. I don't know why. It didn't seem like an important line or anything, but kind of funny. And Buffy says, thanks, wish me monsters. And then Willow does this weird thing where she kind of like acts like she's pushing monsters in Buffy's direction. Every time I watch this episode, I like look for that weird little, because it's so awkward and odd. Anyway.
So I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice it. But looking at the transcript that I'm using as my reference, the note on the transcript says Willow makes a ick gesture and walks away. I don't know what ick is, but that's what how they described it.
It's almost like her fingers are pushing air toward Buffy or something. Mm. I don't know. It's weird.
The only thing I can, like, I have to go back and watch it, but the only thing I can envision if just like a cat's like swatting, but with both hands. That's the only thing I'm envisioning when you say that.
Kinda, but with her fingers moving up and down too.
Oh, no.
It's odd. I don't know how to describe it.
She's a witch. She's a witch.
She's wishing her monster.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. So, and then you can tell they're not even, they go in separate directions because they're not only are they not roommates, they're not even in the same dorm.
Nah. Why would they be?
Apparently this college is so big that it has different dorms for freshmen.
Oh, man.
I went to a state school. And it was in a town, I don't know, 60, 70,000 people probably. Way bigger than the one I grew up in. But people came from all over the state. And there was one dorm for freshman girls, one dorm for the freshman boys.
Yeah.
So this is weird that Sunnydale would have a campus so big that it needed more than, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sunnydale is the definition of a...
TV show town?
Small, like, you know, that small town that just has every resource that you could ever need it to have.
Like an airport? Yeah. Okay, so they move in different directions, and we see it cut to a demon-looking guy with red eyes, red-orangish eyes in the woods looking at
him. Yeah, the lurking demon. We see the lurking demon.
Yeah.
As demons are wont to do.
Yes. And then we're back to Buffy, and she hears something and tells whoever it is to come out and face her like a thing. And then it's Kathy, who made a very passive-aggressive comment about her coming and going at all hours, but then decides randomly to join her.
Yeah, I don't understand this.
Yeah,
like, this doesn't seem like a thing that Kathy would do. And I don't even understand what the motivation would be other than if she's doing the... I could maybe see if she's already set on doing the whole soul-sucking thing, which she probably is. She's maybe trying to convince Buffy to come back to the dorm. Like, that's going to be the goal, is to come back to the dorm and go to sleep so that she can suck her soul. But, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense why Kathy would be going, following Buffy around.
It doesn't make sense why she joins her. But Kathy decides she wants to get coffee after all.
Mm-hmm.
And... goes with her, and Buffy is, you know, obviously thrilled about it.
You're so exasperated on Buffy's behalf. You're just like,
I really don't like Kathy. And later, when she tries to turn people against Buffy, I mean, okay, I know that's not what they're going for in this episode. I know that they're going for annoying roommate who is a demon and stuff like that. But like the way she gaslights Buffy in front of everybody and tries to turn it all around is like classic narcissistic abusive behavior.
Yeah.
And I have tons of experience with this, and this episode drives me crazy for Buffy with that.
Oh, yeah. I
cannot stand Kathy.
And the side of Buffy, right? Like, Buffy's perspective of this, even if you take out, like, the soul, like, they put in a bunch of stuff to, like, make it magical, because that's what Buffy does, is it takes real-life problems and then makes it magical. But the interesting part about this is that what these type of people tend to do to you is not only do they consume all of your time when they're around, but they just get under your skin in such a way that they consume so much of your time when they're not around. And you see that a lot in this episode. Because Buffy, like, whenever she's not around Kathy, she's still anticipating having to interact with Kathy again. She's getting upset about something that happened with Kathy. She's getting angrier and angrier about it. And they explain it as she's losing her soul throughout this course, and that's why it's happening. But also, like, this is just like a legitimate response to someone who's like this, who will just constantly get under your skin, and you'll just keep trying to, like, bury it down, and you'll get angrier and angrier as it goes on. So it's very realistic in its portrayal of dealing with someone who acts this way and just how all-consuming they can be of your life. It is not an enjoyable experience, and it is a very skippable episode for me because of that. But yeah, they're out. They're gonna get coffee, I guess. And then the demon guy shows up. And
yeah,
he's there. Buffy hears him before he actually makes his presence known and pushes Kathy into the bushes. And then they have a quick scuffle, and he gets away. And Kathy climbs out of the bushes covered in mud and just all kinds of upset about Buffy trying to take on someone by herself. And Buffy's just like, I panicked, you know, trying to cover up the fact that was a demon and everything. And then Kathy immediately shifts gears to herself again. It's just like, my sweater, it's ruined.
Yeah, like,
Buffy saved her from a thief,
mm-hmm.
from a mugger who could have done anything, but it's her sweater.
And, like, the casualness of this whole, like, I mean, it's so hard because Kathy's a demon, like, a literal demon, and, like, obviously has limited understanding of how the human world works, but the casual way that she just shifts her focus back on herself and doesn't even think about the fact that they just encountered a mugger, and, like, it's still probably in the area and is just focusing on something so trivial is again one of those very narcissistic things. It's just
what's
one of
the
those
deal with the sweater? It's got some dirt on it. Wash it. What? Wash the sweater. Like, I don't understand.
So anyway, they decide that they're just gonna head back and get cleaned up, and then we see the demon in the bushes, and another demon comes up, and then with subtitles, they say something about she may be the one, and that they have to follow her. Dun dun dun. So, like,
the one demon says, as you wish.
As you wish.
Which I love. I like that, so just pointing it out.
Just pointing it out.
Then we see Buffy waiting for Giles outside of his place and weirdly going through his mail.
Yeah. Little overstepping some boundaries there, but okay.
Giles arrives and he's been jogging, and Buffy makes some sarcastic comments about his mail.
In the back and forth where Buffy's asking, like, you know, you run, and he explains the different things he does. He says he occasionally frolics. And man, yes. Do I want to watch Giles frolic.
I would love to watch Giles. I would watch Giles frolic.
Oh, really, it would be great, yeah. Wouldn't it?
It would. And she asks him if he's doing a midlife crisis, because it would be it. He goes, Buffy, you know, like Giles does. And Buffy says, yeah, I was a demon last night, and... She's describing it, and one of the things she said was that his skin looked like he had a super bad rub on tan, and Giles is like, translate, and Buffy says, orangey?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so smooth the way they do that.
Yes.
Like, and then Buffy mentions Kathy was there, and Giles is like, you took her patrolling with you. And anyway, she claims she invited the whole dorm.
Yeah. It's so weird.
He believes her for a second. But then,
this feels like this is our first touch of just the characters kind of acting out of the ordinary, because this is so like season one Giles for like questioning Buffy on this kind of stuff. But we already know, like, Buffy knows when to bring people into the fold and how and who she can trust. Like, she is very aware of like the secret identity stuff. And I guess it's kind of resetting that in a way, because she's at a new school and everything like that. And pretty much by the end, everybody at the high school knew. But, like, the truth of the matter is, Giles is like, questioning Buffy on something that he knows Buffy has on lock. He knows that she's not doing that. She's not just going up to her roommate and being like, by the way, I'm the Slayer and we could go patrolling together.
Yeah.
She starts kind of making small talk with Giles. He's like, yeah, I'll look up the demon and I'll let you know. And he kind of starts to head away. And she's like, well, it's nice out here, and tries to make small talk with him and ask him what his day is like. And he starts to tell her. And then he's like, yeah, you've never asked me that before. Are you okay? And then she mentions that maybe I'm staying here until my roommate goes to class. And he basically kind of poo-poos her and says that, you know, you're an only child. You have to get used to it, mm-hmm. you know. And basically tells her, you know, this is what living with someone else is like. There is a little section here that was cut out that's kind of funny. When Buffy says, I know it's probably just me having a bitch attack, the part that's cut out is she has her outfits written up on index cards, and she gives them names like Easter at the White House. I find that deeply, deeply disturbed, don't you? And then she tells him about the sharpening her pencils and measuring them with a ruler. Giles agrees it's fussy, but you'll have to learn to tolerate it. And yeah, basically he's like, you're being spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in the line in the cafeteria and we're fixing to meet somebody new.
Yes.
Who I also don't like.
That's the thing. It's like this episode technically introduces two characters that are two of the most hated characters. And then the third character that's recently been introduced, that's the main feature, is also a very much hated character. There's so much screen time given to people we don't like.
Who's the third one?
The other character that's introduced, you don't get her name or anything. She just has a cameo. But is it Veruca or something? The other werewolf girl.
Oh, yeah. We see her for the first time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It's just everybody we hate.
I don't like her either. Okay. Anyway, so Buffy's in the cafeteria. She sees Kathy, who hadn't seen her yet. So Buffy kind of grabs a tray and cuts into line behind some people in front of somebody. And the guy behind her is like ex-boyfriend or loan shark, and begins very... obviously flirting with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she flirts back. She likes him. They get into a thing where Parker kind of tells her how to take advantage of her dining hall card and to, like, get lots of food so you can take some back to your dorm and, you know, eat a good meal and stuff. This bothers me that Buffy picks a yogurt and an apple. And that's all she gets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that they're trying to be like, well, she doesn't know how to use her dining hall card. And, Parker's trying to teach her and stuff, but like, that's money.
Yeah.
Like, she's at least eat a real meal. You know, you got a yogurt and an apple and punched that card. Like, really? Go to Walmart and buy some apples and some yogurt and put them in the mini fridge.
And write Buffy on every last one of them.
Write Buffy on them or something if that's what you're going to eat for a meal, and like save the punch in the dining hall. Like, this is what, like, the only thing I agree with Parker on is him teaching her this. Oh, it doesn't take, but you know.
Yeah. So it happens again late, like the stuff later is way more already on the, you know, there's so many signs for Parker being the way that Parker is. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he immediately pegs her as a freshman is enough of a tell for me to be like, ah, there are seeds planted here to give you very obvious clues that Parker is not the best.
Best of people, yeah.
But it gets worse later. I have notes for later on. But yeah, so they're done with their meet cute. I love using meet cute for couples that people do not like.
Yeah, because it sounds weird. It's like not what you're supposed to call them.
And they separate. They do exchange which dorms they're at. And names and all of that, pleasantries. And then she goes, and Xander's there as non-college guy.
Yeah.
Just trying his best to deal with his situation of currently living in his parents' basement and not having any idea of what his future holds. And I think potentially mooching off of some free lunch.
they have a little conversation and basically
talk about Parker. And,
yeah. Willow's excited.
Oh, yeah. Willow is happy for Buffy. Yeah. And they kind of talk about how he'll be back because it's Buffy. And both Xander and Oz say that.
Yeah. I love the smile that Buffy gives after Oz says, no question, he'll be back. And Buffy just gives like the most genuine smile. And I'm just like, oh, that really means something coming from Oz.
It does.
Like Xander, and we've learned to ignore him. But Oz saying that, that's like, aw.
And Buffy tells him about the demon, and Xander gets really excited.
Yeah? Something apocalypse-y? Do we need to assemble the Scooby gang?
No, but thank you for asking.
I just got way too excited, didn't I?
And Kathy shows up and goes, hi, everybody, squeeze in. And at this point, I'm like, how do you know everybody?
She does, though, because they all met in the last episode, and Xander hugged her.
Yeah, that's true. Buffy's like, y'all know Kathy, my roommate, and then looks at her and be like, is that my sweater?
Mm-hmm.
We missed talking about the scene where she gets Buffy's sweater out of the closet.
Yeah, she gets Buffy's sweater out of the closet and then finds Buffy's bag of weapons. It's just like, meh.
Yeah, like, nothing. I guess we skipped that one.
Buffy's weird.
Like, yeah, she's weird. She's got all these weapons. But here's the thing. She gets Buffy's sweater out of the closet. The sweater doesn't even match what she's wearing. Like, it doesn't even match her clothes.
You know, at that point, it's just to even the score then. She's just like, I'll grab the first sweater or the sweater I know she kind of likes.
And then Kathy's like, I didn't think you mind. You got mine all muddy. And I'm like, no. As far as Kathy knows, she was being saved from a mugger. So she's blaming Buffy for that? Also, just wash it. Anyway, Buffy goes with, I was saving you from a, and Willow jumps in to help and says, bear. And Buffy's like, mugger. Which Kathy doesn't even notice it, but it's hilarious.
Like, nobody gives Buffy any credit in this episode.
Right. And then Kathy's like, but it is not a problem. We're almost like sisters now, living together. But, you know, there's a milk thief.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy's acting like this in front of Buffy's friends. She's gaslighting Buffy into thinking Buffy is the crazy one for being upset about her sweater.
Yeah.
Even though she acted that way about the milk and you have to log your telephone calls.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But in front of Buffy's friends, they're sister. Oh, I'm getting upset.
Oh. I get it. We'll get through this episode. We got it. Okay.
Yeah. Buffy's like, no, I just wish you'd asked. And then Kathy takes a giant bite out of her burger and just lets, what is it, mustard or ketchup or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It's drip like onto the sweater and make a giant stain. And I'm like, if you don't care if you're wearing a stained sweater, just wear the muddy one. You know, apparently
now you're going to be walking around with ketchup all over yourself.
Yeah, but if you don't care, then just why not wear the one with the mud stain?
So we cut to later that night, and Buffy is talking to Willow on the phone, and you know, again, like all consuming. Kathy's just everything right now, and she's just talking about all of the things that she keeps taking from her and everything that she has to put up with. We do get a cut to Willow's dorm room, which apparently is currently like a party zone with music and a bunch of people drinking in the dorm room and just like a whole big thing. It's so weird. I don't understand this choice.
Yeah.
It's like framed in a way to make it seem like Buffy's just, again, overreacting. Because obviously, like Willow's situation's really bad, right? But I'm just like, no, they're both bad. The amount that Willow's a pushover in this episode is also weird.
Willow's always kind of been a pushover.
But I feel like, and it may be that we get to watch this and it's also like a reset, but I feel like she was growing out of that and then she got to college and like the last episode she was like in her element, and then this is more like a regression on this episode, and then we'll see her break out again and again. But man, it's so upsetting just the little bits that we see that of Willow just like also in just a terrible situation.
And hers is pretty bad, but like she's like slowly trying to make Buffy crazy. I think that might be worse.
Oh yeah, like soul sucking and like the passive aggressiveness and everything like that is terrible. And it's so weird. Like I feel like the framing device that they're trying to use is that Willow's situation is clearly supposed to be worse than Buffy's situation, even though Buffy's literally living with a demon. And it's supposed to be like Willow's dealing with it and Willow's kind of just like, you know, saying, oh, it's all kind of bad and stuff like that as a way of showing how much Buffy's overreacting to it, right? Because, you know, it's framing it to where like Willow's situation is just terrible, and Buffy's situation is she's just got an annoying roommate, and then it gets worse and worse as it goes on. But like it's just after you watch this episode once and you rewatch it, you're just like, no, Buffy has every right to complain. This is soul sucking aside, this is real bad. So anyway, they finish up their call when Buffy says that she thinks Kathy's coming back, and Kathy enters and immediately says, don't forget to log those calls. Buffy, I guess she did squirrel away like an apple. She probably only ate the yogurt and then carried the apple because she pulls the apple out of the backpack and goes to put it in the refrigerator. And that's when we see everything is just labeled Kathy in just like Sharpie.
Giant black letters.
Including individual boiled eggs. Every single one of them.
Yeah, they're not just in Tupperware. They've all got Kathy written on them.
Yeah. And then it has one of these misdirects where it's just like, oh, roommates are just, they're just annoying each other because Kathy pulls up her book and there's gum attached to it, which is gross. I will admit, like, this is, if this is a habit Buffy has, she needs to get rid of it fast.
Like, why did you put your gum on the night table?
Yeah, it's real gross. But it is one of those misdirects of just trying to, like, figure out how to live with each other and not that Kathy's just evil. But it is just constant back and forth. We see, I think here we start to see them fighting over the window, being open or closed. All these little things. It just continues to be built up. And then finally they lay down, turn the lights off, and then we get a cut of Buffy's dreams, which are all kinds of dark ritual, including pouring blood in her mouth and putting scorpions on her, and just not the best time ever. And
yeah, not cool stuff.
She wakes up and Kathy is there alert in her bed looking over at Buffy saying, do you always make that noise when you sleep?
Which is also not a fun way to wake up at all.
So it's the next day, and Giles is on campus, just chilling.
Like, did he show up looking for Buffy? Did they decide to meet in, like, the lobby of one of the buildings?
Yeah. They're hanging out. Now, like, let me explain something that I'm sure everybody understands. But, like, I don't care, like, how fancy of a school you go to. There's no, like, common space lounge area on a campus that looks this nice, that has this nice of furniture. Buffy's explaining her dream and then says that the worst part is when she wakes up, there's Kathy. And Oz
has... Buffy's just kind of bad. Oz thinks the worst part is the demon poured blood down her throat. Which I agree with Buffy that was a dream and the Kathy thing is real.
Yeah.
And then Buffy, she starts like kind of complaining and bitching about Kathy. And they kind of interrupt her to say, maybe we should talk about your dream more. And Kathy shows up again.
Mm-hmm. Just always lurking.
So she shows up again and wants Giles to read the dream she had last night, which is the exact same one as Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I dislike her and this episode so much that I can't actually remember if, like, I was buying this the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was. Like, I'm sure I hadn't figured out that Kathy was a demon. But, yeah.
Yeah. It is a... I mean, Kathy's annoying. Like, super annoying. But, like, this is clever to actually say that she's having the same dream so that they start thinking, okay, something's happening to both of them.
And not thinking it's her.
Yeah.
Buffy kind of tells her to go to class, and Kathy says somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and Buffy's like, guess what? You were next to it. And they kind of just trade barbs back and forth, and Kathy's are very passive. I know I keep using this word.
Yeah, it's the right word to use.
Yeah, it's the only thing it is. And Buffy's are more flat out.
Yeah, Buffy's very direct.
Get away from me. Yeah. Then everyone kind of stares at Buffy because of the way she was acting, and Giles is like, you know what this means. Buffy starts complaining again about Kathy taking her sweater. She's going to get my dreams. She's got to put it on my dreams too. And Giles is like, focus, Buffy. Something happened to both of you. And Willow says we'll figure it out. And Buffy leaves to go to class, and they kind of talk about how she was Cordelia-like and she was the bad twin and all that. And then Giles is like, let me know if she, and Oz says, hits the red zone. So, like, they're already thinking that Buffy,
yeah,
who has dealt with more than, like, anybody in this show, they're already talking like they have to worry about her freaking out.
Yeah, they're acting like this is a common thing that Buffy does, yeah, where she just goes off the rails and just starts, like, getting really aggressive towards normal people. And that is, like, the least Buffy thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's not something Buffy does.
Yeah.
Like, and she only does it, you know, in the first episode of a season. We've already had that. She doesn't act like herself.
We're done with that.
We're done with that one for this season. We're not going to do it again until next year. She doesn't really freak out and hurt people or anything, and they're acting like she's gonna, you know.
Yeah, like they have to really watch her in case, yeah, she just decides to murder Kathy.
You know what? I just realized they're kind of acting like she's Faith.
Yeah.
Like
they're jumping to those conclusions that led Faith
like
down the path.
Yeah.
They're failing Buffy now. I hate these people. Yeah. They just feel so out of character to me. And that's, I mean, other than annoying aspects of this episode, that also bugs me.
Well, I know that this episode climaxed and it got to the end and everything. But like, if this had continued the way it was, like if she hadn't been a demon, if this had just been who Kathy was, this would have, within another few episodes, caused irreparable damage in her relationships with her friends.
Yeah.
Because that's what people like that do.
Yeah.
The next scene is the demon outside Buffy's window, the demons, and they're the one that was there, they're entering like a cavern or something. I don't know. They might be back home in their dimension, but they're talking about how she is the one, and they're preparing and everything, and then we see their faces, and they're not pretty. And then we've got Buffy outside her dorm room, and she's about to open the door. And then it says, when Mariah Carey's butterfly issues from the room again. And Buffy grits her teeth and enters the room.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the song they had originally planned to go with.
Yeah.
And yeah, Buffy enters this room to something she does not like.
Yes.
Yes. There's Parker in there. And he is flirting with Kathy.
There is so much here that's annoying. And it's just all of these people that are manipulating Buffy. Like, and like Parker's even trying to, like, you can tell that Parker's playing as many fields as he can. Because that is definitely flirting with Kathy as well.
Oh, yeah. 100%. He is, okay, I'll try this one.
Mm-hmm. She's here. Hey, warm body.
What I came here for wasn't here, so.
Buffy's immediately on guard. Parker says that he dropped by to bring her some plastic baggies so she could maximize her dining hall exports. And
which is cute.
It is. Like,
if he wasn't a jerk, it hadn't been flirt with
a roommate.
He's very
calculated, for sure. So he did bring that by to again get in a little good graces with Buffy. But while he was there, he spent enough time with Kathy to talk about music and sports and all kinds of stuff.
Hockey?
Yeah. And like, of course, Buffy being so singularly focused on Kathy is going to make this all Kathy's fault. But it's so obvious in the scene that this is also just Parker being Parker. Yeah. And it's just so irritating because as much as I hate Kathy, I also hate the idea of blaming another woman for something that a guy does.
Yeah. I'm just going to blame everybody.
Everybody sucks.
In this scene. Yeah. Everybody in this scene, not episode.
Yeah.
This whole scene is just, ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, it's just not fun to watch. But anyway, yeah, Kathy and Parker even start to get a little bit more like laughy over the hockey stuff and how Kathy likes sweaty men and start giggling, and then and she like pushes on him, and then Buffy's just like, well, if you're gonna wrestle, take it outside. And Parker's just like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. And again, like, you know, does his little puppy eyes and starts to leave. And then Buffy, of course, runs to him and like makes sure he's okay. And he's just like, I should go anyway. And as soon as he's gone, Buffy just glares at Kathy. And like, I get it. I hate Kathy in this episode. I am fully team Buffy on that. Kathy is the worst here. But also, I hate this. Because Parker is also the worst and Buffy doesn't know it yet. Oh, but Kathy's immediately just like, I was just being nice. Like, I wasn't moving in on your territory. Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. So it just more of the back and forth, you know, like Kathy's flossing, which I guess is just another one of those really obsessive habits that she has. Buffy opens the window. Kathy complains about being cold. Buffy says, I'm hot, deal with it. And again, the spoiled line comes up, you know, Buffy, only child, she's spoiled. And the world doesn't revolve around her.
Kathy is just as bad.
Yeah.
She's just trying to gaslight Buffy into believing things that aren't true when Kathy is the majority of the problem in the situations. Then weird things happen. Kathy tells her it's share time, and Buffy's like, okay, share time. I'll show you share time. It goes to the refrigerator and grabs Kathy's milk and starts chugging it and drinks it until milk runs down the side of her mouth to the floor. And so now we're like, okay, maybe Buffy is hitting the red zone.
Yeah, like this is our first real like, what is going on here? Something is off. Something is actually happening to make there's got to be something going on to make Buffy act this way. This is not normal Buffy. Like up until this point, you can maybe make excuses, but woof, like just chugging
Now
milk.
You're like, what is happening?
Having it drip everywhere.
And then there's a scene with Willow and Oz in Willow's dorm hallway. It is not in the script. It is, I guess they added it, where Willow is like starting to go into her room and her roommate is partying again. So she decides to go to the library and Oz is going to go keep Buffy company.
Yeah. Which is odd. Like,
yeah.
But also I love it. I absolutely adore Oz and Buffy together. It's great.
Yeah. In this scene, we get Veruca. We see her for the first time, and Oz and her kind of have a weird connection moment, which is also not in the script. But yeah, Buffy is talking to Oz, telling him about everything that happened. There's a really weird conversation that happens here. Like, it's really odd.
So then Kathy's like, it's share time. And I'm like, oh yeah? Share this.
So either you hit her or you did your wacky mime routine for her.
Well, I didn't do either, actually. But she deserved it, don't you think?
Nobody deserves mime, Buffy.
Kathy does. She deserves to be locked in an invisible box and blown away by an imaginary wind and...
Forced to wear a binding unitard?
Yeah, the itchy kind. It's perfect.
Just here to help.
It's so odd, but it flows so well.
It does flow.
It's so magical. And it's one of those things where, you know, like I know from being a Buffy fan all my life that like Seth Green and Sarah Michelle Gellar are like really tight. Like they really enjoy each other's company and hardly ever got scenes where they got to just bounce off each other like this. And watching this scene and how they just bounced off each other and like how the flow of the conversation, like this is my note of this scene is great and the most Oz has ever spoken ever.
Like he talks a lot in it.
But yeah, it eventually as it builds more and more, Buffy's like, you know, just continually talking about Kathy, and Oz is just like, maybe you're scaring away the demons, and she's just like, God, she's even affecting my work now.
Which is great.
And then she like basically kicks a bench in half.
Which nobody wanted to sit on that anyway.
Nah, it's fine. Sarah Michelle Gellar's having it up here. The performance is spot on. Like, everybody's acting in this episode is so good because they're so effective. Like, the emotional response we're having is because everybody does a fantastic job with these roles. But it's just so out of character and it feels so weird. It's such a, like, you know, like we've done some kind of weird dimensional shift or something with all of these characters and everybody's slightly off. Oz makes a comment about how she killed the bench, which was looking shifty. And Buffy's like, this isn't funny. Something has to be done. And she storms off and Oz is like, agreed. And so like, it's
like, what are they going to do?
Planting these seeds where Oz is just like, ah, yes, Buffy and her red zone. We have hit it. So this is another weird scene. And it's the direction in this episode also on point. Like, I like almost everything about the episode except for the script.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the actual episode that they put together is really obnoxious. But, like, the performances, the directing, the way it's edited together, this next scene is, like, it's masterful. Like, I can tell, like, they put a lot of effort into making this weird, like, overly focused, hyper, like, senses, you know, shifting of how people would actually be experiencing these moments. But, like, it's just packaged in this episode I don't really care for.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, it just cuts back and forth of like Kathy clipping her toenails and it intensifies and zooms in, like makes the sounds really dramatic. And like Buffy's just can't deal with it. And then like there's stuff that Buffy's doing that really irritates Kathy and it's going back and forth. And then Kathy eventually turns Cher's Believe on, which I think is at least the third time it's played in this episode. Like it just keeps going. And like the way in which she sits to crack the boiled egg is so unnatural and it's so eerie and you can tell like they were really going for like a stylized horror film kind of aesthetic with these shots and how they edited it together and it's just her cracking an egg.
Weirdly. Like,
it's there's some cool decisions that were made in this episode. I don't really care for any of the story bits. But Buffy's finally like, I'm going to bed. And she goes to bed, turns off the light, and immediately we get another Buffy dream. They're painting symbols on her, and all of it just continues to be like flashes of the dream before. And she wakes up, and then Buffy kind of hears Kathy also like in mid-dream, and then very like, you know, performance good. Like Kathy at least is like playing the part well, and then wakes up herself and is just like, oh geez, faking that she has just experienced the same dream again. Kathy's plan is actually pretty solid when you break it down. It's just she happened to be rooming with the Slayer, which is not ideal for her.
Which, if she hadn't have gotten the Slayer, she would have pulled it off.
Oh, I bet you.
I've been some random freshman girl stuck in another dimension for forever.
Yeah.
Or maybe they probably would have realized when she got home and came back for her, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how their
stuff works.
How their justice system works. The demon justice system. It's probably like you get locked in a cell and nobody ever looks at you again. She probably would have died a lot faster than Kathy, and that might have been a clue. We cut to later that day, and Kathy is talking to Willow and talking about how difficult Buffy is, and she's secretive, and she comes at all hours of the night. And like Willow's kind of like, yeah, things sound rough, but don't you need
but
to be
the
talking?
Secret, she's secretive thing.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't owe you anything. Y'all have known each other for, like, a week. She's allowed to have secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You did not become best buddies and, like, sisters overnight. You treat her like crap. You don't get to complain that she's secretive and doesn't tell you all her secrets.
Well, like, it's bad. Like, it's really badly triggering, especially if you, you know, have the experience like you have. But, like, it also, like, what is Kathy's play here? Because Kathy's already progressing through all of this, right? She's already got the ritual going. So now she's just bringing more attention to Buffy being weird. Maybe so, like, when Buffy disappears, she can make an excuse that, like, oh, she's so secretive and she runs off at all hours of the night. But, like, is Kathy not aware at all of, like, how close Willow and Buffy actually are?
Well, she's not.
I guess not.
And she's trying to, like, sow seeds so that when Buffy leaves or disappears, that nobody will
Look for her. Or, like, everybody will just think it's...
been trying to, like, take Buffy's place in the friend group.
Yeah.
Because she's already acting like it's her friend group.
Oh, yeah. And you can tell that it's, like, Willow's trying to direct the conversation in the right way. And Kathy's just like, oh, but she's just so touchy and weird. I mean, she's just not quite normal, you know? And, like, she's just continuing to, like, push... But she's othering Buffy in this conversation. Every chance she gets, she's othering Buffy. And it's just, you're right. She is trying to basically take over Buffy's life is what she's doing. And it's
make it where she just turns everyone against Buffy.
Yeah, turn everybody against Buffy so that when Buffy disappears, goes to the demon dimension in her place, there's not as much looking for her, or there's not as much, you know, third degree on Kathy and all of that. And it's just a way of her wedging herself in a position to where she can manipulate the situation. So it's interesting because she's clearly good at what she does, but also what she does is like some of the messiest, sloppiest way to achieve any kind of goal. Like, this form of, like, it's effective, but it's also, like, just, it's effective because people are so naturally like this. I'm not sure how effective it would be if this is your plan. And I think Kathy is, like, naturally like this, but also using this as her plan. But, like, the reason that this is so hard to deal with in real life is because there's people who are just like this, that just, it's not like I'm an evil demon trying to control, like, this is just their natural way of, they just create drama at all times. And so it's very effective because you can't really combat it because that's just how they are. The only way to get away from it is to just remove yourself from that person. But, like, using it as a way of achieving an evil plan, like they do in this episode, like Kathy sucking Buffy's soul and then sending Buffy back in her place. It's so weird because it's just the way some people are, and somehow Kathy has figured out a way to use the way that she is naturally in a way to, like, diabolically, like, put all of these thoughts in people's heads as a way to get rid of Buffy and to make herself seem like she's not at fault in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Diabolical. I think Kathy might be the evilest character in Buffy.
She's
up there. Buffy approaches and Kathy says, later, okay, and leaves. And Buffy, very, like, you know, to the point, says, why were you talking to her? Very, like, you know, accusing, like, what's going on here? What's happening?
Which only makes her look bad.
Yeah. And
yeah. But she has every right to be suspicious.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's, yeah. And Willow's just like, well, we were just saying hi. And Buffy's just like, that's what she wants you to think. And Willow, like, actually, this is when Willow, like, puts her foot down and says that this has to stop. I have a sucky roommate too, but you just have to deal. And Buffy says that, you're right. I've been thinking about this a lot. And it's clear to me now, Kathy's evil. I'm an evil fighter. It's simple. I'm gonna have to kill her. So it's like, obviously, this is the point where the Scoopies should be concerned. But the fact that they were so, like, anti-Buffy before this
is weird.
Weird.
Yeah. So then it like kind of does a cut to commercial and comes back and they're still talking outside the room and Willow's like, don't you think you should just switch rooms or something? Which is kind of funny the way she says it.
Such an obvious solution that has not been talked about yet.
Buffy goes in explaining that, you know, it's not just her in danger from Kathy, it's everyone. And apparently she collected Kathy's toenails off the floor the night before, which, like, they are sharing a room. Why is Kathy cutting her toenails and just letting them fall to the floor? Throw that shit away in a trash can. If you're a demon and, like, you have a toenail issue, why would you leave them there?
Yeah, that's evidence, right?
Why are you not trying to hide it? And also, it's just rude.
Yeah, it's just rude, man.
Anyway, but Buffy is doing crazy stuff because she collected somebody's toenails.
Yeah. What is interesting to me, and like, maybe it's not just like soul sucking, but in a way like personality swapping that's happening here when Kathy does her thing. But like, apparently Buffy having less of a soul also makes her super like anal and wanting to like measure and calculate things the way that Kathy measures and calculates things.
So she collected the toenails?
She collected the toenails and she measured them.
And they grew.
They grew. And it's so like the type of crazy thing that Kathy would do, but not necessarily, I think, what Buffy would do without a soul.
Yeah.
I don't think losing your soul means that you're going to measure things all the time. I don't remember Angelus walking around with a ruler at all hours.
Very good point.
So then she's explaining all about the nails and everything, and Willow's like, of course, it all makes sense now, but go show Giles. And Buffy goes to do that, and Willow calls Giles to warn him.
No, not bitchy crazy, more like homicidal maniac crazy. So I told her to come see you, okay?
Somehow, both Oz and Xander managed to get there before Buffy?
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah, she gets attacked, and Oz, Xander, and Giles all together tie her hands behind her back and put her in a chair and tie her up.
I still don't buy it.
Yeah, me either. Except that, you know, Buffy's probably not wanting to hurt them.
She hasn't lost that much of her soul yet.
Yeah, right. And she doesn't want to hurt the people she loves. But yeah. Anyway, there's some very good looks that are nice during this scene that are very funny. Xander is like, sorry, Buffy, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And Buffy's like, not yet, but it will. And then Xander's like, please don't say that. Anyway, Giles explains that they're doing this to help her. And she gets him to look in her pocket. And she says, you know, these are the nails that, and they keep growing after they're detached. She irons her jeans. She's evil. And here's the thing. She's been messed with so much that the thing she's trying to tell them, she also says things like she irons her jeans, which just make her sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other things she's telling are valid. But the things she says that make her sound crazy counteracts that, yeah. And no one listens to her. And that is exactly what people like Kathy do.
Yeah.
And they do it on purpose so that you will be like that and then nobody will listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is very much like if you just hear the crazy parts and don't like actually factor in. The explanation here is that, you know, Buffy's been possessed, right? Is what they're going with, you know. That's right. Giles is like off the cuff. I fear the demon that Buffy met in the woods has somehow possessed her. And, you know, Buffy's just rambling about love songs and stuff like that. But like, it's so weird that they jump to these weird conclusions and are also convinced of it instead of, like you said, listening to Buffy.
And what she's trying to say. Yeah.
Who is in direct contact with the demon that they discussed before, has talked about the rituals, and is talking specifically about Kathy, who is also there. And like, I think the interesting thing is they're so focused on Buffy, and probably because she is the Slayer and she is capable of causing great harm. But if they're worried that Buffy's having all of this stuff happen to her, and that like Kathy was also there at the demons and has been experiencing the same dreams, and why aren't they also just assuming that Kathy could also be possessed by something? Like, yeah, like,
because
they're
Kathy's
just like
not acting crazy because she's been messing with Buffy,
yeah,
to make Buffy act crazy.
Yeah, but like, it's just like they jump to this conclusion on Buffy, but then they forget to like look at the fact that all of these ingredients were also there for Kathy, and Kathy's not showing these signs.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy specifically targeting Kathy and saying Kathy's the one doing this. It's just, and they're all like, we have to protect Kathy from Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I feel like Giles is smarter than this, but he's not apparently in this episode.
All of the people in this episode should be smarter than this.
Yeah.
Giles decides he's going to go find a spell that'll make the demon show itself and leaves Oz and Xander to watch Buffy.
Yeah, nothing could go wrong.
Yeah, nothing's going to go wrong there. So Kathy opens the door of her dorm room and Willow is there and wants to come in. Kathy asks where Buffy is, and then Willow probably starts talking about how they're having issues and maybe Kathy should leave to give Buffy some space. And Kathy's like, what do you mean? Why should I have to go? And then Kathy starts talking about how Buffy is obviously troubled and she might leave and do something to herself.
Mm-hmm. And planting those seeds.
And then the phone rings and it's for Willow, and they let her know Buffy is at Giles, and Willow's like, you know what? Never mind. Stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Willow leaves, and then we're back in Giles' apartment where Buffy's kind of like, why won't you listen to me after everything we've been through? And then Xander says, we want to, Buff. It's just... And then Oz tells him, don't engage. But there was a line cut here.
Okay.
Where Oz actually says, don't engage. I'm pretty sure the next part is about fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I feel like they've made that reference already, which might be why they cut it.
Have they in this episode?
Not in this episode, but like earlier in the series.
Maybe. They made a Silence of the Lambs reference.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they did that. Oh, and maybe so that like a season it, yeah. one episode even.
Buffy says, I heard you. Xander and Oz now get worried that they didn't tighten the ropes enough and decide that they have to check. And when they get there, Buffy bashes their heads together and gets up and is like, nope, not tight enough. And heads back to her dorm room.
So this next scene, like this entire like rest of this episode, this whole encounter with Kathy and Buffy, this in isolation, without thinking about the characters and all of the frustrations and all of the triggering stuff and everything, but like just this in isolation and the performances that are had here, like the way that they play this out and the way it's edited together, it's just delightful to me. Like I think that this is just really funny, really tight editing. Like the way they cut back and forth between Buffy and Kathy like fighting and Giles figuring it out. Like it's really well put together and it's just funny. Like some of the quips and the back and forths. But like it's still just, and it's such an obnoxious episode. But like the way that this just gradually unfolds and Kathy explaining her plan as Giles is figuring it out and the demons getting ready to come in and all of these quick cuts. Like I just love it. Like all of it's delightful to me as mm-hmm. far as how it was put together. Like all of the acting on set and the post-production and everything is just so tight. It's just like the script that they started with, I don't like. So yeah, they're having their back and forth and just trying to push each other's buttons more and more. And then they actually start to like throw down. And then Buffy eventually grabs the front of Kathy's face and pulls off the mask that she's been using to hide the fact that she's a demon. And in fact, one of the demons that they've encountered in this episode. And Buffy's just like, I knew it! And it's so great. So yes, we get the reveal that the demons that have been chanting out in the woods somewhere have in fact summoned the great mighty one. I don't remember what they called them earlier, yeah. But apparently his name is Taparik. I don't know.
Something.
It's a something. But he's just like, where is she? And they have their little moment. And then it's just like, and Kathy just choking each other out. Like just fighting, like just the most like sloppy fighting you've ever seen in an episode of Buffy at this point. Like just Kathy yelling quit it and Buffy's still like, I knew it. I knew you were one of those demon things. This is when of course we reveal the plan. Like, you know, she's just like, let me finish my ritual, and Buffy questions it, and then we have the cut back and forth where Giles is explaining the ritual at the same time that Buffy and Kathy are fighting. And so Buffy figures out that her nightmares were actually Kathy performing the ritual on her, which is to, you know, borrow is the term that
her soul.
Kathy's using borrow her soul.
She's going to give it back after college.
Yeah, I'm going to give it back. And then Buffy even has the without even asking line, which is just... I don't know, like, I just can't with this, the giddiness that I experienced during all of this back and forth.
The without even asking part, I have ha-ha written.
Yeah, without even asking. So we get into the part of the fight that includes biting. Buffy bites Kathy's hand, and they continue to have their fights back and forth. You know, Buffy's definitely, like, just... crazed, like they're like these demons I imagine are stronger than humans, but like Buffy's just like sloppy all over the place. And Kathy ends up throwing Buffy across the room and then says, it's share time, Buffy.
Yeah, okay.
And then Buffy's like, let's start with my sweater.
And tries to choke her with it.
Oh, it's just so great. Like, all of these elements throughout the episode being blended into this fight is just fantastic. Then we're back at Giles' apartment.
Xander's wanting to know why Giles doesn't have shackles. Willow is like, yeah, oh my God, are you okay when she sees him? And Oz is like, yeah, Buffy's got a pretty good head start on us. And Willow says she'll call Kathy to warn her and goes to dial and there's no answer. And then we go back to the dorm room and we find out why there's no answer. Kathy has grabbed the phone and is repeatedly hitting Buffy with it, screaming about how all she has to do was log her calls.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Then Willow hangs up and they decide they're going to go to the dorm room and meet Giles at the door.
Giles just rushes in and yells, toenails!
Yeah. Willow goes, so Buffy was right all along. Later on, big remorse.
Yeah. I'll fix everything.
Giles and Willow are going to do the spell and Oz and Xander are going to go help Buffy. And they start doing that. And we go back to the dorm room where they are still fighting, and Buffy stomps on all the neatly sharpened pencils, breaking them. We hear a guy down the hall ask them to stop fighting. Like, do you mind? People are trying to study.
It's the best. That guy showed up to work that day. That is one of the best line deliveries ever. I love it so much.
Do you mind? People are trying to study.
We see them fighting again, and we go back to Giles doing the spell, and back to the dorm room, and we go back and forth a couple of times.
Yeah.
We are in Buffy's dorm room, and Kathy manages to get Buffy's mouth open, and at that point, the soul-sucking thing reverses, and Buffy gets her soul back, and Kathy, like, loses what she had taken of Buffy's soul.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kathy is going, how did you, her guardians, I guess? From the other
That's a
dimension.
Good word.
Yeah, show up and basically, or you know how much trouble you're in, young lady?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going back. He tells her not to take that tone. And anyway, they do that. It's pretty funny. Kathy says, I'm 3,000 years old. When you're going to stop treating me like I'm 900? And Oz and Xander show up and are like, oh, look what's happening.
There's a whole thing.
Yeah. And then Kathy and her guardians leave through the script calls it a swirling cosmic vortex in the center of the room.
There you go. There's just a great moment when the vortex opens up and Buffy's just like, crawl, 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 crawl.
Yeah.
She's just like, nap. The room's quiet and like Buffy, Oz, and Xander are just left there just like, we have no idea what to do with all this.
What do we do now?
So then we cut to presumably the next day or a few days later and Willow is moving in. Hey, guess what, Kim?
Finally.
They're rooming together. It makes so much sense.
She's putting up a Dingoes Ate My Baby poster.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Because what else would she put up?
Yes. And we do have a repeat song here by, what is it, Four Star Mary is the Dingoes Ate My Baby sit-in band. But it's Pain, which we have heard before, but it's playing in the background. So the music's different. The vibe's different. They're very casual and enjoying decorating their room together. And Willow's showing her big remorse and trying to apologize for the whole Kathy thing. And Buffy's just like, nah, I get it. Like, you know, aside from the soul sucking, I'm sure Kathy was pretty regular and, you know,
yeah,
I'm just glad.
Not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Not true. But she then makes the comment that she's glad that it was Kathy's demon stuff that was making Buffy act the way she was and like to think that she's pretty normal, pretty easygoing, right? You know, and this is when Willow, which also like, I don't think Buffy's in the wrong here either because Willow picks up Buffy's sandwich and then says, you're going to finish this. And without waiting for a response, immediately bites into it.
Right, who does that?
And Buffy's just like, no, not again. And I'm just like, no, I'm still with Buffy. Don't just eat someone else's food. And I don't know if like Buffy and Willow have this relationship, but I do think that this is something that Willow and Xander have done for years, where they just eat off of each other's plate. Probably Xander more than Willow, but I think both of them just eat off of each other's plate. So I could kind of see where Willow's coming from too, as this is just something normal that she does. But it's just something, you gotta set those ground rules. And if you're, especially if you're gonna ask, wait for a response before you bite into the sandwich. All right, so that is that episode. Like, editing and the directing, I love. I think there's some really fun, fast edits and some great back and forth, especially in that last section. I think it gave Sarah Michelle Gellar a chance to shine and do some stuff that she doesn't normally get to do. And like that really play those comedy bits up and really have some fun with it. But man, is it just an obnoxious episode. Nobody acts like they should, and there's a whole bunch of characters that I don't like that get gobs of screen time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of my favorite episodes.
I feel ya. So, next podcast, we'll be back to Angel. We're going to do episode 2 of Angel, Lonely Heart. And, like, I will quickly reveal how little I remember about, like, the episode. I will remember the episodes as they come up, but, like, the order in which the episodes play out in season 1 of Angel, I don't have on lock nearly as well as I do for Buffy. So I'm trying to remember which one is Lonely Heart again. So it'll be like watching it, like, you know, fresh in a way, because I'm not exactly sure which episode I'm going into.
Well, I haven't watched Angel as much as Buffy, obviously, but I have watched through the entire series 5 to 6 times. So I actually do know which one it is.
Nice. You will teach me the ways of the angel.
It's the one where the kind of succubus thing that goes from person to person.
Oh, I hate that episode.
And that's the one it is. And it's the first one where we meet the police officer, Kate. You know, she kind of disappears later without any explanation. But it's the one where we meet her.
It's not as bad as, what's the episode? I Fall to Pieces. I Fall to Pieces is the worst episode.
Okay. And see, I Fall to Pieces could be done. It could have been a really good episode. Because stalking is a serious issue that a lot of... people go through, and they could have done it well, but they made it so ridiculous with the eyes, and they made it so ridiculous that, like, it was laughable. It could have been a serious episode, but no.
All right, we'll get there. Heart. We'll get there. Right,
apparently we're gonna go ahead and start the podcast on that one tonight.
let's just keep rolling. All right. Well, we thank you all so much for listening. And this is where we say bye.
Bye.
We got to get out of here before we keep talking about the next episode.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched it yet, and I'm talking about it.